Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. A great Monday morning wherever you are. Hope you had a blessed weekend. It's that time again. The Breaking It Down podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, here in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. 15 minutes goes by quick. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, this is a great guest, and I've been looking forward to talking to him for quite a while. He is Spencer Hodes, and the owner of vintage jerseys and hats, and boy, I'll tell you, if you're talking memorabilia or stuff or cachet of stuff, he's the guy to see. And Spence, so glad early this morning to talk with you. How you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you doing, Mark?
Great. And let everybody know how they can get a hold of you across the airwaves, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can always find me website formerly known as Twitter is my main spot. My handle is at polyesterunis. You can also find me on my website, polyesterunis.com.
Well, I'm so blessed to talk with you this morning and get some insight on it. You know, we talk about jerseys. We talk about caps. We grew up with that. And then when people got married or stuff, they moved on with their stuff. They got rid of stuff. And now they wish they scrambled to keep some of that stuff back again. I know a lot of people that kind of got rid of it. Sometimes the wife, the girlfriend, the mistress even doesn't know what it's worth. They get rid of it. They push it on to the Goodwill, the Salvation Army. Somebody else's junk becomes somebody's treasure in more ways than one. Any thought to that, my friend?
Oh, absolutely. I like to say I collect memories. And so, hats and jerseys is my main specialty, but anything that, you know, gives you good memories of growing up or any time in your life and everything, memories are great. And in my case, it's colorful baseball memories.
Well, and not only that, and we're about the same age, give or take a few years, still good looking at that point too, you and I.
Yeah.
You got to get it out there across the airways. What the hell? But when you look at the logos that we kind of grew up with, now today they're bringing them same logos back, that vintage look, the title off of you. And it's coming back full circle. I've seen this with the old Pirates. I've seen this with the old Astros. I've seen this with the Padres. You know, for decades, it was, okay, let's change the logo. Let's come up with something else. But boy almighty, somebody in the front office or something said, you know what, let's get back to the yesteryear. And that's what's beginning to sell. Hey, there's a movie out called Barbie. You know, go figure.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, no, I really like, we always like what we grew up with, the 70s and 80s for me. And that, to me, again, it's all about being colorful. And I think, the next generation now is sort of getting into that. With all the technology they have these days, they can reproduce this stuff a lot easier than they used to be able to do it. So, you're seeing teams, I don't know how many teams, 5 or 6 teams now are going back to powder blue. You know, who would have thought that was going to happen again? You know, it hasn't happened in 30 years, and all of a sudden all these teams are showing up on the field with powder blue, and it's great. Beautiful.
Yeah. Not only that, when you look at it, Spence, you look at, you know, when we were going to ball games, you'd go to a game, they'd sell everybody's hat. It wouldn't just be, you know, that team. And now you go to a ball game, it's specifically that team that you're in that ballpark for, and they have different sets of hats for it. So I think it's more or less the fan that's going to the game should be able to have the access to the other team or other teams support it. But now the teams are individually marketing themselves. Are you a big fan of that? Because I'm a fan of when I used to go, they had everything, batting helmets and everything. You know, I know it wasn't protective, but still, you had every team you could have a chance to buy.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to remember that back in the day, I grew up in Portland, so we were a minor league town. We had the Mavericks and then the Beavers. Actually, the Beavers, then the Mavericks, then the Beavers. But, yeah, you had all the different teams. The batting helmets were the big one back then. But you didn't have access the way you do now. So nowadays, you know, especially with hats, you can buy so many different things online, and you can get your favorite team's hat in their rival's color, or you can get, you know, all different kinds of stuff. So, yeah, going to the game, being able to buy it, whatever you want to buy is always nice. But the good thing is now, you know, I know I'm going to a game in 2 weeks. I can order up whatever I want and have it in my hands in time to go to said game. So that's always nice.
Right. And not only that, we also knew growing up, you know, you'd have the local sports store that would probably have everybody's hat. I can remember walking into a place and getting the old Pirates. It cost $60 at the time. It was a Rawlins. Those stores went out of business. The internet came in the equation. And now with the internet, like you just said, you have access to anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's obviously Nike's kind of got it down right now, but there's all kinds of different ways to get a hold of that stuff, you know, some more expensive than others. But, you know, everything's more reproduced. When I was a kid, it was the coolest thing in the world if you could get one jersey. Now you can have 10, and it's not a big thing. So it may devalue it a little, the newer stuff a little bit, but it's something that you dreamed of when you were a kid, and now you can actually have that stuff.
Right, in more ways than one. Let's talk about how you got your business going, because I think it's remarkable what you've collected and stuff over the years and built it up into something. What did it start with? A cap, a jersey, and then it just escalated from there? And I know we were joking around the difference between a collector and a hoarder is more or less space. So take us through
right.
That adventure, my friend.
Yeah, no, I always say that. You know, if you've got 200 square feet and you've got 2,000 hats, you're a hoarder. If you've got 3,000 square feet and you got 2,000 hats, then you're just a collector. But, I mean, it goes through the years. You know, when I was a little kid in the 70s and 80s, I played Little League, and, you know, you had your different jerseys, and, of course, at that time, everything was nice, really colorful, and, you know, the different businesses had their different colors, and you got to keep your hat at the end of the season, right? So that was the coolest thing. Even in the summer, you know, when you went back to school the next year, and I'm wearing my G hat because I was on the grocery sack, you know. And then, you know, as things went, get into high school, they opened a store down the street from my high school, I think late 80s probably, called Hat Club. Now, this is not the Hat Club that we buy hats from today, which is a great company, but I think it was actually started by I think Danny Ainge started it. But and this was in Beaverton, Oregon, right? Home of Nike. But this is you would go down there, you sign up for a membership. I don't remember how much it cost. And every month you got a free hat, plus you got 10% off of whatever hats you bought. So the time I'm buying college hats because I'm getting excited about college, right? But that sort of started it. And then things go along and you get into your career and whatnot. And then I have kids. I grow up. All of a sudden one day I find myself running a Little League. And at that point, now I'm in charge of all the hats and jerseys for an entire, you know, section of town, right? So now I'm buying up jerseys. I'm trying to find colorful stuff because that's what I like. And now the kids are starting to like the colorful stuff. And so it's moving on to that next generation. And then I've got to start designing hats for all-star teams and whatnot. So now I'm doing pinwheel hats like the Expos, because that's what I remember when I was a kid, and just sort of moved on from there. I retire as the president of Little League. I got nothing to do. So I said, okay, I'll start a Twitter page. And, you know, 48,000 followers or so later, here I am.
God bless you. You know, it's funny because I can remember getting out of school, helping clean a sports place, and I'd always tell the guy, hey, listen, at the end of the month, make sure you give me a hat, the fitted hat. And at the time, it was $15, and the hat coming out was, I believe, the White Sox with the SOX, the black one, and the gangs were all buying that up, I guess, and stuff. And he always tried to give me one of those snapbacks. I said, no, no, I like the fitted hats. And now those fitted hats, my friend, are up to $55, $60. Boy, has time flying, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I think the pandemic sort of pushed that up. People had some time on their hands and started shopping online, and the hat culture just went crazy these last few years. Hopefully it's kind of, it feels like in the last year or so, it's kind of hit its peak. They started to get up into that $55, $60 range and people stopped buying them. So I think you're right in that $50 range is sort of where it's going to sit for a while, hopefully. But yeah, it's certainly, you know, the days of the $15 brand new, you know, Pirates hat are behind us.
Yeah. And not only that, we're down to 4 minutes and change. A couple questions to throw at you. The 76 year was the bicentennial year, and I can remember, and people say, well, there was a couple other teams. I remember the four teams, the Pirates, the Phillies, the Mets, and the Cardinals. People are telling me it was the Expos and Reds in that bicentennial with the pill box with the stripes going around. Am I correct?
Yeah. You basically nailed it. Now, a couple things that are, you know, are often misunderstood with a bicentennial year. It technically, that was not for the bicentennial. That was the National League centennial. The National League was founded in 1876. So the reason why they went to those pillbox hats in 1976 for the centennial is that's what they were wearing in the late 19th century. So,
wow.
So while some teams were, you know, you did see a few patches, but that patch, that round patch with the little guy on it, the red, white, and blue guy,
yeah.
That was actually a National League centennial hat. So the Pirates wore it full time. That was the only year that they had that mustard yellow. They switched to, you know, the brighter yellow in 77. The Phillies and Cardinals both wore it. Well, I said the Cardinals more than the Phillies. The Cardinals wore it part time, the Phillies a few times. The Mets, maybe a couple times. And then the Expos and Reds each had hats. I think they probably wore them one or two times. They were white hats with the stripes around them. The two other things where they got used, which is really interesting, during the All-Star game, the National League team build up to the All-Star game had a hat with an N on it. It was a white hat with red stripes and a blue N on it. That actually was a snapback hat. That, you know, they didn't have the technology to go crazy with it. But and then during the World Series, the National League umpires wore a pillbox hat, which was pretty cool. You're never going to
wow.
have one of those, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. And some of the stuff. Last question, and we'll wrap it up, and we got to do this again to get you across the board because I really love this interview with you, my friend. Hardest thing to get now, is there anything off your bucket list? I know some of these teams have been defunct across the leagues, whether it's the Washington Redskins, the old Colorado Rockies, and no, that's not baseball, that was hockey. Hartford Whalers, Quebec Nordiques, is there anything out there that you haven't got that you want to get?
Well, the hardest thing to get, and I've talked to hat manufacturers and hat makers and whatnot, and it's pretty much impossible to make, is what I call the snowflake hat, and it's the 1972 Padres. Now, if you remember during the 70s and in the early 80s, the Padres had what they call the bell hat that had the brown hat with the yellow sort of bell-shaped triangle front,
yep.
right? In 1972, They introduced those for the first time, but it was different. They didn't have it all. They didn't have it the technology down yet. So the yellow part kind of went around the sides. I call it the snowflake hat because no two are alike, and it's almost impossible to reproduce. And they only wore them at home, I believe, on Sundays. So finding one of those hats, if you ever see one of those hats, and it's, you know, even if it's not a real one, even if it's a reproduction, those things are almost impossible to find. That's the grail.
Wow. Spencer, as we wrap this up, I can't say thank you enough. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, again, Twitter, at Polyester Unis. The site is called Vintage Jerseys and Hats. Also, my website is polyesterunis.com. You can always go check that out. I got lots of colorful pictures and old-time MLB stuff mainly, but all sports, really.
Well, I appreciate this tremendously. That's Spencer Hodes, Vintage Jerseys and Hats. Check him out. He's giving you all the information. He can help you out. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. If you want to hear the recap of this, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Till then, have a blessed one. We'll be back again on another episode of this. Thank you again, Spencer, and have a blessed one.
Thank you. Have a good one.